Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and I want you to circle this little word, saw, that he saw or he beheld how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." Why, you may ask? For they, the rich and others, all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Jesus was interested in who was given. Notice again the word saw. That little word saw or beheld. Let me tell you why it's significant. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we sometimes overlook things. When the Bible says he saw, get this. This was more than just a glance. Yeah, for example, you know how when we put money into the offering, we just may glance as to who's doing it. But no. That's not what the Greek word means here. The word means that Jesus looked intently. It means that he observed deeply in the heart and in the mind. He looked, he not only looked, but he observed. And then because of the tense of the verb means that it was a continuous action, meaning that when Jesus did it, he didn't do it just one time and let it alone. He continued as everyone came around and put money into the treasury. He continuously looked and observed intently. He saw beyond the surface. He even saw the amount of money each person put in. You say, is that important? Yes, it is. Because what he wants you to understand is that giving to his work means something to him. And by the way, I want you to consider this. Consider that even today in the 21st century, our Lord still observes what we give. He still observes how much we give. He still observes the heart out of which we give. And so Jesus was interested in who was giving, but let me tell you something else. He was also interested in what they were giving. In what they were giving. What do you mean? He was interested in what they were giving. Because you know what? I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. See, Jesus knew every person there. You say, well, how did he know that? Because he was God in human flesh. He knew everybody there. Watch this. Not only did he know everybody there, he knew everybody's circumstances. He knew people up close. And so his last act prior to the cross is that he goes into the temple. And then notice what the Bible says, that he went and sat across, meaning that he didn't go right there, but he sat where he could observe everything that was going on. Jesus could see. And he could look and he could observe, and he just looked and observed. He watched every individual. He studied every person as they came by. He knew every individual, could call them by their name, knew how many hairs in their head. He knew everybody intimately. And the Bible says he observed that person and those persons there. And this is amazing because he was interested in what they've given. I want you to understand something, church. If you are here today, I don't care how much money you put into the treasury. I want you to understand that God is interested in what you give. Because every now and then you hear somebody say, well, God, this little bit I got, God ain't hardly interested in it. Oh, yes, he is. He's very interested in what you give. Because it goes deeper than the amount. Because you know what? We all know, and it has been said, that numbers can be manipulated to prove anything, right? So don't tell me God isn't interested about what you give. Yes, he is. But I want to tell you something. Because, see, the Pharisees, now, you know, they had a tactic to try to impress people. Now, what they would do is that when they would give, they wouldn't give just out of the depths of heart. They would give. They had to make a grand entrance, so to speak. You know, their giving was based on, I want somebody to be impressed with me. You know, one of the things that always troubled me as a little boy, you remember this, when Mama so-and-so couldn't come to church, and then they'd go in front of the well, Mama Granny sent $300. And everybody be all floor. Oh, my goodness, Mama Granny. And everybody's calling Mama Granny up and saying, oh, man, you gave $300. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't know Mama Granny's heart. But what I'm saying is, I asked the question down through the years, was that really necessary? Because if you are not here today and you send your tithes, I don't need to come up and announce, well, Sister so-and-so is out today, but she left $100. But that was the nature of the Pharisees. They always wanted to be observed. They always wanted people to pat them on the back. But see, that's why they couldn't take Jesus, because Jesus said, no, that little bit of money you given ain't for the kingdom of God. It's for your own glory. It's for your own pat on the back, and others can be impressed with you. But Jesus says, I'm not impressed with you. You know why I'm not impressed with you? Because I know you. I know you. You may impress everybody else, but I know what you've given. And guess what? I know that you could have given much more than that. Pharisees. So let me just say again, Jesus didn't just happen to casually observe this treasure activity. As I said in verse 41, he went over and he sat down the opposite of the treasure to watch the people put their money in. So I want to tell you, my dear friend, is that this first point is that Jesus observed the giving at the treasury. But I want to tell you something else too. Jesus, here under the point C in my notes, I want you to know that Jesus gave his disciples an object lesson. Because you know what he did? Notice what he did. He sat and he observed, and he said, all right, y'all come here. Now let me show y'all something about giving. Y'all watch these Pharisees get pat on the back, and the others who had the ability to give, you know, more than others, to impress others. But he says, it's time for me to give you an object lesson. It's time for me to teach you something about what real giving is. See, Jesus wanted them to understand is that, basically, that he wanted them to know what sacrificial giving was really all about. All right? That's what he wanted them to understand. And so out of the crowd, Jesus could have picked a number of people to use as an object lesson. But you know what he does? He goes and picks out this widow. This woman who was, her husband had passed away, and she was a pauper. She was poor. If she was living in our day and she was living in the hood, we would say she was poor. In fact, she couldn't even get a po' boy sandwich. I mean, because she was just that poor. She was poor. And the Bible says that Jesus, of all the people that he could have picked out, isn't it interesting that he says, all right, I'm going to use this little widow to teach my disciples a very, very good object lesson about what it means to give sacrificially. Let me ask you a question in the house today. Have you ever given sacrificially? Now, I probably just set y'all up, because you ask that question in the house like this, we are quick to say, oh, yeah, I've given sacrificially. I mean, we'll say the Lord knows my heart, and he knows that if I really could give, I would give. The Lord knows. Sometimes we don't even say the Lord. We say the Lord. The Lord knows that what I would give if I could give. But let me tell you something here. Let me tell you something. The second point of the text is this. When we look at the verses 41 through 44, Jesus not only knew what they were giving, Jesus knew, listen, the circumstances out of which they gave. Now that's why this is important, because he knew the circumstances. See, none of us, for the most part, knows the circumstances out of which we give. If you and I give, we can make some assumptions, but we really don't know the circumstances out of which people give. But when Jesus sat on that day and he observed the people and he observed them and studied them, remember, intently, and had x-ray vision, as it were, and can look beyond what they put in to see the condition of their heart, to know their circumstances out of which they gave, it goes deeper than that. We don't have that ability. We may think we do. We may think that we know what people can and cannot do. But only God knows for sure who has really made a sacrifice. Do I have a witness here today? Only God knows who has really made a sacrifice. Okay? And so Jesus knew the circumstances. Now understand, I told you the word poor, it means a pauper. She was not just poor, she was destitute. She was in deep poverty. She was a beggar. She was like these people we see on the streets today. You know, when you're driving and somebody have a sign up, and sometimes, admittedly, we easily dismiss them, don't we? Because we make a thing about us in America, we make assumptions about people. Somebody's on the corner, they got a sign. We think all they want to do is just get over on us. I ain't giving them no money because I know they could do better than what they are doing. Well, you really don't know because you don't know their circumstances. And by the way, can I tell you something here that you may want to hear? God may just be testing your heart. God may just be testing your heart to see what kind of heart you have when it comes to people who may be poor and destitute. Rather than criticizing, rather than justifying why you can't or shouldn't do it, God may just be testing the kind of heart you have. Because you know why? Check this out. God may want to put some money into your hand, but if he can't trust you to do right by poor people, that's why I just told y'all a couple weeks ago. You know we had this real big lottery that y'all was spending your money on? You think I don't know? You know I know. You know, it's like this man a couple years ago in, I think, somewhere around Baltimore, Virginia somewhere, and the lottery was nowhere near what it was the other week. But it was pretty up there, like over $300 million. I think if I read the story right, he spent somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 trying to win the lottery, and he didn't win. And then he tried to play crazy. Then he said he wanted to sue the people because he said he was on medication, and the people took advantage of him. Well, as if they knew that he was on medication. And even if you were on medication, it's still your responsibility to do what's right. The point I'm making is that we all have heard, and you've said it in this house here today, that if I hit the lottery, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I would do. And I told you 2 weeks ago or so, no, my dear friend, you may be well-intentioned, but I'm telling you, I'm looking you in the eye, you wouldn't do it. You know why you wouldn't do it? Because you ain't doing it now with what you have. And Jesus says, that the proof in the pudding is that he who is faithful over a little will be faithful over much. And he who cannot be trusted with a little won't be trusted with much. A person who makes $50,000 a year and they don't give to the work of God won't all of a sudden get a heart for God because they have $1.5 billion. It won't happen. It won't happen. You think so. You say, oh, if I had out, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. The question is, what are you giving now with what you have now? Now, I'm fixing to further develop that right now. Because, like, I want you to know, Jesus, and this is important, he is aware. You ain't got to worry about what somebody else is thinking. Jesus is well aware of your circumstances in life. You know what? I was reading a little story. I thought I'd share it with y'all. Y'all going to love this. The story is told by this man. He was pretty wealthy. And he called the church office one day. This is no joke. He called the church office, sucked her into the phone. She said, hello, so-and-so Christian church. Yes, can I speak with the big hog on the troll? And so the secretary was kind of taken aback. She said, excuse me? He said, yes, I'm calling for the big hog on the troll. Yeah. Anyway, pay attention to the word big hall. The big hall. And so the lady says, well, sir, if you're talking about our pastor, you need to show a little bit more respect And you can refer to him as the reverend or the pastor. And the man says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. It's just that I have $10,000 that I wanted to donate to the church building fund. She said, hold on a minute. Let me see. I think I see the big pig coming in now. Yeah. 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 I think I see the big pig walking in now. Yeah. See. In other words, he had the money to give, but not everybody can call and donate $10,000. So it's important here that as Jesus teaches us that he knows the circumstances out of which we give. And so we sometimes think that God doesn't know. Oh, God doesn't know. I don't care whether it's poverty or debt or a large family or kids in college or whatever you think your unique circumstances are, God knows them intimately. And nowhere does he say that you should not give in light of these types of pressure in your life. So Jesus knew. Well, what's the third point is? The third point is this. Jesus saw the content of their gift. Now, isn't that amazing? Jesus observed what they were given, and then he saw the content of their gift. You know, you understand what I'm saying, right? He saw how much they put in. If they had envelopes in those days, I don't think they did, he would have still known. But that's what God knows. He saw the content. Now, when you may say now, Jesus is getting a little bit up close and personal, isn't he? Exactly. He's observing us. Because you know why? Because he's interested in where our hearts are. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Can I tell you something? You don't believe this? I want you to check this out. I can tell you today what you love by looking at your checkbook. I can tell you what you love by looking at your credit card statement. Now, if you think, you know that, what do you think about the living God who is omniscient, all-knowing? What do you think about him? We can tell you right now exactly what you love. We ain't got to have a long conversation. Let me see two things, your checkbook statement and your credit card statement every month. And I can tell you what your priorities are. And we will say we can't give to the church. But if we look at our statement, everything that we see on here is about us. It has to do with priority. And God is trying to get us back focused onto what the priorities ought to be in the life of a believer, a Christian. So he saw the content of the gift. And the bottom line is, note what the Bible says, is that this woman, she threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you what that is. Because it's important to understand coins and money and how we compare it by today's. So let me just keep you from being suspenseful about what this is. This is actually a penny or less by today's standards. What she put in, a penny or less. Yet Jesus makes a big fuss over a widow who puts in a penny or less. What is that about? That's about something, isn't it? You know it got to be about something. Because if you and I saw somebody put a penny in, we wouldn't be impressed with that. No. We have to talk to this man who called for the big haul. And we want to talk to somebody like that when they put in a lot of money. And let's be clear, even in some churches, we know that people who have a reputation for putting in a lot of money, they sometimes think that they can do what they want to do. Tell the church what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. They want to bully people because they're the big givers. And let's be clear, if you ain't been around church, You need to go around church, because in every church, there's somebody who gives a lot, but there are some churches where people who are very wealthy, and they think that their giving is what puts them in a position to make all the decisions. And the moment you stand up, say, no, we appreciate giving, but you're not going to tell us what to do, then they're going to take their money. And because they're afraid of taking their money, they let them do what they want to do. So what does our Lord do? He did what he always do. He goes contrary to the way we think. Remember what God said in the Old Testament? My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts to your thoughts. That my ways are as far from yours, as far as the heavens is from the earth. In other words, I'm not on your level of thinking. You're going to be impressed with the man who calls. But I'm impressed with this woman who puts in less than a penny. What is that about? That's about something. Let me tell you what it's about. I told you that Jesus understood the circumstances out of which she gave. And you know why that he blessed her and why he talked about her? Is because Jesus made the calculation concerning her gift. Now, let me tell you what he's teaching them. He's teaching them, first of all, that real giving is giving. In other words, if you really want to impress God, you give out of a sacrificial context. This woman was dirt poor. She had less than a penny. And guess what she does in the temple? She resisted the voice of the devil, because here's what the devil probably told her. Now, you know you can't give what your... God certainly understands. You know you can't give your last cent. You know you better not do that. After all, don't God give us common sense? And this is all you have? Surely God would understand this is all you have? Come on now, stop being crazy. And guess what Jesus does? He takes a situation and he memorializes. I'm still talking about her. Isn't there something on February the 7th, 2016? I'm still talking about her. So real giving is what? Sacrificial giving. Real giving, watch this, is measured by how much a person has left, not by how much a person gives. You want to know whether you really are truly giving? What do you have left after you've given? What do you have left? Because you may have a whole abundance left over. And Jesus is saying something here, y'all. You don't have to agree with him, because it ain't about whether you're agreeing with the sovereign God. He's the one who's right. Okay? So it ain't about, that's just his opinion. No, it ain't. He's the one who's right. Real giving is measured by how much a person has left, not by how much a person gives. Wait a minute. Real giving seeks to have a need met. Can I tell you what this woman was doing? Here's the lesson, and here's the thing that blows me away. She has a penny or less left over. She, in her day, she could probably buy a loaf of bread. She knows that either I give to the work of God or I go hungry. I mean, that's the superficial way, the human way of thinking about it. But that wasn't the case. You know why? Because this woman knew something that we say we know. And you know what she knew? She knew that the Father would take care of her. That's what she knew. She knew that the Father would take care of her. She knew it. Even long before Paul in a Roman prison penned the words in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Long before he penned those words, the woman knew that her heavenly Father would provide for her. Real giving to have a need met. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever figured out that maybe the reason why you still have some needs is because you haven't given in order to get your needs met? Now you can find that more if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. You'll find more about that concept. Is that I have a need, so what am I going to do? I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to give to the work of God, and guess what God's going to do? The Bible says, Paul said he's going to cause his grace to always abound towards you. Now notice what I'm not doing. I'm not doing what Creflo Dollar doing. I don't believe in all that superstar. But if you sow the seed with the right motivation and you trust the Lord, he's going to provide for you. So watch this. So I wasn't there on that day, but if my sanctified imagination is working with me, somebody sitting there might say, now don't be no fool. We already know you ain't got nothing. And the little bit you got, you fixing to go up there and talking about giving it to the treasury? Come on now, lady. Don't you think God understands some things? That dear woman probably says, I hear you. But you know what? I've been walking with him for a long time. And guess what? Even if I'm down to my last penny. Y'all, we know that phrase, don't we? I'm down to my last penny. But you know what I know? I know that my Heavenly Father has never, ever abandoned me. I trust him. And because I trust him, he knows I trust him. And guess what he does? He always comes through. I tell you, I got to challenge you again, Lincoln Avenue. I got to challenge you. See, we got to, this morning I got up real early. I went to work out at the gym this morning. And when I was going, the Lord had me to turn on the radio station. I was listening to this young preacher, powerful sermon. And he's talking about going beyond the grace of God in your life. He's talking about really applying the truths of God to one's life. Because in the church, sometimes we can intellectually know a truth, but we don't allow that truth to saturate our hearts and our lives. We know it, but we don't allow it to impact us. And sometimes we're sitting here, we say, oh, I trust God, I believe in Jesus, I've been born again. But the mystery is, when it comes to the giving part, all of a sudden I can't trust God. Now watch what I'm saying to you. You mean to tell me, my dear friend, you can trust God to save your soul, and you can't trust him with $10? That's interesting, isn't it? That's curious, huh? You mean to tell me that I trust him with the salvation of my soul, but when it comes to opening up my wallet, Lord, now you got to understand some things. I can't be doing that. So I want to challenge you in your thinking in that regard. I want, because Jesus does here. So what is the last thing? The last thing is this. Real giving is giving all a person has. Giving all a person has. I want to illustrate something. I want to do this in 30 seconds or less because it's a great lesson in my own life. I told it to the Bible study group, so I'm not going to give you all the circumstances because I want to get to it. I want to make the point because initially you may be impressed, but I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't be impressed. So last year, long story short, I was downtown L.A. I was going. I had a jacket that I liked. And I was going to get it altered at this place downtown that I knew and I had work done before. And long story short, I saw this black woman, this dear lady, laying on hot cement in the month of August. It was like 105 degrees that day. And she was literally naked, literally, from her head to her toe. And as I was getting out, I saw this woman. The Lord spoke to me like, just like I'm standing here speaking to you. He says, cover her up. Now, understand, I was downtown to get my jacket that I had made with my name on the inside, especially made for Wayne C. Cooper. And the Lord says, cover her. And I knew immediately what God was after. He wanted me to cover my daughter's dignity. Cover her. And I covered her. I gave her the jacket. And I spoke to her. I said, ma'am, you all right? She said, I'm going to be okay. I just need some water. And I gave a little bit of change for her to buy some water. And I ended up going back, come back to home to Pasadena. Now, I went down there. Now, you may be impressed, but let me tell you why you shouldn't be impressed. Because even though I gave her one of my favorite jackets, guess what? I have 10 more. Now, it would have been more impactful if I had given her the only jacket that I have. Did you see the point? That if all I had was all I had and I gave it to her, God is teaching us that is what real giving is. I go in my closet and say, hey, Lord, you want me to give another one out? You want me to give another one out? I've been blessed in that way. But the point is, don't be impressed with that. Because even in that situation, though it was a good deed done, it did not demonstrate sacrificial giving because of the abundance of what I have. So I want to ask you, I'm through preaching. I want to ask you today, what about you? What about, do you really give sacrificially? I want to ask you, Lincoln Avenue, do you really trust the Lord? I know you say you love the Lord. I know you say you've been born again. I know you say he's been good to you, and I don't doubt any of that. But can you demonstrate it in the way that you give to his work, to his cause? Yes, the church needs your financial help. But more than that, God wants to bless you as you give in order to have a need met. That's what it's really all about. Give God some praise. So the bottom line is what? Jesus teaches us. You know what he teaches us to do? To give liberally. Give sacrificially. And you ready for this? My dear friends, to give by faith. Yeah. And I could talk some more. And maybe at some point I will. You know, I could talk about, well, why is it that we struggle in giving? Because if I can tell another truth, is that sometimes we have erected our lives in such a way that we live beyond our means. And y'all do know that, right? And then we don't have no money to keep up. We don't have the money, Rem Brown, to keep up our means, Candace. We don't have the money. We gotta have it all. And you all know me well enough to know I would never tell you nice things is wrong. You know I would never tell you that. But I would tell you this, if having nice things means that literally every penny from your check is gone because you got to live a certain way, then I would tell you to maybe rethink that and pray about that. That, you know, because I understand it. You know, y'all, I understand in this life what happens. You know, we know how we judge people, what side of the tracks you live on, what you're driving, how much money you have, who you know. You know, some of y'all know that I have a son-in-law who plays in the NBA. So Ryan plays and Ryan makes money. He makes a lot of money. The amazing thing about people, they assume things about Connie and me. They assume that because Ryan is rich that we are. And I don't ask Ryan Hollins for one penny. Not one penny. I don't need nothing from Ryan. I just want to take care of Mrs. Cooper. And as long as he's taking care of my child and the children, then we're all right. I don't need nothing from you. I don't want anything from you, not your celebrity status, not your money. I don't need a darn thing from you. But people assume that. Hey, can I borrow X amount of dollars? Why you assume you can borrow money from me like that? Well, ain't your son-in-law play with? Okay, well, you need to call him then. You need to call him. Let us stand. Somebody may be here today. Yeah. Well, I am. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to give.